This is Joy Roland, and you are listening to the Empowered Wealthy Women podcast. This is episode number 49. We know we deserve love, and we are empowered to only be in loving relationships. Welcome to Empowered Wealthy Women, a podcast for ambitious women who want to build wealth. You'll learn how to finally fix your relationship with money, increase your net worth, and make more money. Ladies, it's time to create a life of abundance, wealth, empowerment, and joy. Ready? Let's go! Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 49 of the Empowered Wealthy Women podcast. It brings me so much joy and pleasure to be recording this episode today. I wanted to use another phrase instead of saying I'm excited to be recording this episode today, because I felt like I have used excited so many times on this podcast. But that's genuinely how I feel anytime I use that phrase. I'm excited. I am truly, truly excited. I've had a very, very good week. An awesome week in my business. I'm so grateful to God, and I'm so thankful for all of the blessings I have. I hope your week is going well too. I hope you are well. I hope your family is doing very well. The reason I'm excited is, one, I'm coming to the end of this series. So for the past 12 podcast episodes, I've been going through a series of 12 things that extraordinarily wealthy women know. And these 12 things, 10 of them I have learned from my own coach. And two of the two last ones I added myself because I felt it was missing those two things. Now, I've brought you on a journey with me because I was kind of distilling all of the wisdom I was learning from my own coach. And I was bringing you along the journey as I was learning these concepts for myself. So I hope I've been able to help you open up your horizon, open up your vision for yourself of what's possible for you and the thoughts and the thinking that will ultimately get you to the destination you're looking for, which is wealth, abundance. Now, the reason why this is so dear to my heart is because empowered wealthy women are able to have more choices. When you're empowered with your wealth, you can say no to an overbearing boss. You can say no to relationships and situations that don't serve you. So that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this. Now, another thing I'm so excited about is that I will be leaving for Miami tomorrow. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited because I'm going for a speaking conference. And it's just a huge stepping stone for me in my business. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I want to give you some food for thought. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to not wait until everything is right to take the steps you need to take to build wealth. Don't wait until you have all your ducks in a row. Many people have a vision for their businesses, a vision for creating wealth, and they keep procrastinating. They keep waiting to have the perfect set of skills, waiting to have the perfect set of circumstances to take steps. Now, the reason I'm challenging you is because when I started to take steps to build my business, I was less than ready. If you can think back to the story in the Bible where God had wanted to use Moses, and Moses was so I want to say self-conscious about his limiting beliefs, and he kept asking God to use other people because he had trouble speaking. He was a stammerer, so he was telling God to use other people who had the gift of the gab. And God was so particular and said, "I want to use you." That's how I feel, because when I started, I was like, I don't speak well. I have a terrible accent. I am so self-conscious. I'm an introvert. Why would I want to do this? I had been so successful, in my opinion, in my business as an IT consultant. So my last year as a consultant, I earned $380,000. And so I kept asking myself, why do I want to put myself out there? Because in my role as an IT consultant, it was just me, right? Me, computer programs, you know? So I kept saying, well, I have a comfortable life. Why would I want to give up all of that to set up a business that involves me interacting with you humans, and all of that possible rejection, all of that possible failure that could come? And so maybe you're at that stage where you are kind of contemplating and doubting and procrastinating and feeling overwhelmed about all that will be involved when you decide to venture out on your own. So my challenge to you is to take the first step. Do not wait for everything to be perfect before you take the first step. Because here's what I believe, that God honors people who take the leap of faith. Now, when I started, so this podcast I launched on November 1st, 2023. And when I launched my first episode, I had no clue. In fact, so far I have had to change the title of my podcast 2 times. That's to tell you how clueless I was when I first started. So when I started November 1st last year, I had no idea what to say. I had no idea what my business would be. But I'm like, God, I'm putting my faith in you. I'm gonna take the first step. And I've just been blown away by how God has blessed me. So many people have reached out to me to ask for guests to be on the show, to ask to collaborate with me. And I'm like, what? Do these people even know who I am? I am the very shy, timid, Black African girl that left her country at the age of 25 in search of a better life. Do people remember that when they send me all of these offers? The 25-year-old that left with no English, with no money. So then when I see all of these things happening today, I'm blown away and I'm so grateful to God that I took that step. I've had people reach out to me on social media asking me for my coaching program. I have invested in myself in ways I wouldn't have dreamt off. I now have a speaking engagement that I'm going to tomorrow in Miami, Florida. Be speaking on stage with the amazing Les Brown, which is mind blowing. I've had the opportunity to run a class in Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, where this is actually the 5th week of a 9-week course. And all of those things happened because I took the first step. I ventured out and I decided to invest in myself. You see, invest in myself. So when I decided to change careers, I wanted to leave my career as an IT consultant and I wanted to be a life coach, so I enrolled in the life coach school. Now, I invested $25,000 in that program. That took a leap of faith, right? Because up until that, the most I had spent in a mastermind or in a coaching program was, I think, 12,000. The highest I've paid is $12,000 to be in a mastermind. So when that came up, I'm like, gosh, 25,000. And I paid it one time. In fact, I had to call my bank because they didn't, my bank didn't allow the transaction go through because they felt it was fraudulent. So that was a huge experience for me, for my bank to contact me to, they actually had to raise my transaction limit from 20,000 per transaction to 25,000. So that was an experience for me. And after that, I've invested in tons and tons of masterminds. The mastermind I am in with Les Brown cost me a total of $16,000. That includes his speaking training program, as well as I'm actually writing a book. I'm co-authoring a book with Les Brown. So I'm giving you all of these numbers not to impress you, but to impress upon your heart that you need to take the first step. You need to be able to, number one, invest in yourself, and number two, be able to take the steps necessary. Now, I know that $380,000, although that's not small in any stretch of the imagination, I felt like I deserved more. I felt like I wanted to earn to start earning at least $1 million. So my goal for the year, I've said it many times, is $1 million in 12 months. And I felt like working as an IT consultant wouldn't get me there fast enough. So that was why I decided to change careers to become a life coach, and I've niched down to becoming a wealth coach. So I hope you're encouraged. I hope you take the steps necessary to build the wealth you know you deserve. And here is my yardstick for having a figure. So remember, I always tell you start with a goal. So when you decide to pursue wealth, have a goal in mind. Mine currently is $1 million. I'm sure when I hit my $1 million, then my next goal will be 5 million, and then 10 million, and then 100 million. That's how I want to get to. That's my, well, my vision anyway. So when you set your goal, a yardstick I use to know when I've reached wealth is when I have more money than I know what to do with. Okay? When I have more money than I know what to do with. That's where I want to be. So what's that figure for you? Maybe for you it's 5 million, maybe it's 10 million, maybe it's 100 million. You get to decide. Nobody can decide that for you. Okay. So I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent there, but I just want to encourage you. I want you to be motivated. Now, today's episode, I want to talk about the fact that empowered wealthy women know that we deserve love and we are only empowered to be in loving relationships. Now, this particular topic is so dear to my heart because I have seen so many women struggle with their relationships from the point of view of being abused, being physically abused, being emotionally abused. And many women, even when deep down in their heart, they know the right thing to do is to leave the relationship. But many times, because of the finances, these women find themselves stuck in very toxic relationship. So I want to encourage you to do a relationship audit. Take a very honest and deep look at your relationship and make sure you're only in loving relationships that fulfill you, in relationships where there is no abuse. So, I appreciate the value of being in a loving relationship. As social humans, this is one form of connection we crave. This is one form of connection that helps us to thrive as humans, because having that deep human connection with somebody that you can share your life with, somebody you can share your vision, your goals, have fun, enjoy life, see new places. I think that is absolutely valuable and something to be treasured. But only in the confines of a loving relationship. Now, firsthand, I don't have when I say firsthand, personal experience with abuse, I mean in my marriage. So even when I dated a guy in university, he was so possessive and abusive. So I decided to end that relationship. But the guy I married, I had known him since we were 12. So we grew up together, and it's supposed to be textbook love, right? There was no abuse or anything, but we decided to end the marriage, and we are now successfully divorced. Now, looking back, it was supposed to be a textbook love relationship, because this is someone I've known since I was 12. He's my best friend. And so we got married. It was a very beautiful wedding, and our relationship was awesome. But looking back, if you ask me why did we end up in divorce, I would say it was a combination of factors, mainly because we were dealt some life circumstances that we couldn't navigate well. Maybe we didn't have the skills or experience to navigate well. So I had experienced 3 miscarriages, horrible miscarriages that were so terrible for me to deal with. And then he became clinically depressed. He was suicidal at some point. When he told me about his suicidal thoughts, I was like fish out of water. Like, I'm like, okay, what do? I cried, and I was afraid every single day, wondering if that day would be the last day I'd see him. And so that burden of not knowing what to do, like just talking about it now is getting me emotional, but not knowing how to handle your husband being suicidal, that's very difficult. And then when I finally had my daughter, I also had postpartum depression that wouldn't go away. Okay. So I think all of those, and then when he became suicidal, and I remember having a conversation with him, and I had gone to many online forums to like check how do you handle a spouse, like how do you handle a spouse who was suffering from depression. And so I ultimately asked him, and I said, how do you want me to help? I'm here to help. Tell me, what do you want me to do? And his response to me was, I want you to leave and move on. I'm like, what? He said, and then he said, the best thing you can do for me is to just find somebody else and move on. And that was it. I'm like, if this is what will help you heal, then I love you so much that I'm willing to let go. And so the divorce took almost 2 years. At that point, we had been separated for 3 years already. We had been living apart. So the divorce finally came true. But looking back, I think I'm grateful for the experience of love. I'm grateful for the experience, like just for the few years I had to truly love somebody I cared about. I think that's a very loving experience I had. But as far as abuse, when I saw my mother struggle, my mother was heavily abused physically by my dad. He would beat her black and blue. And bear in mind, she was the sole breadwinner, right? She was the one working and she was the one paying our school fees and all of that. But he had terrible anger issues, and he would still make her life so miserable. And many times my mother packed up her stuff to leave, but she ended up staying because she wanted the best for us, the children. I'm so passionate about this because I know the emotional toll abusive relationships can have, not only for the women involved, but for the children as well. Even now, I still carry that pain, that trauma of seeing my mother suffer in the hands of a man. So I believe that when we are empowered, when we have our own wealth, when we are extraordinarily wealthy, it gives us choices. We don't get to stay in an abusive relationship because of the financial implications of living. Okay? When you have money, you get to leave. You get to leave because you value your life, right? You don't want to die in an abusive relationship. And sadly, this is what happens to most women. Most women, well, I shouldn't say most, many women do not make it out alive. So, I want you to take a deep look at your relationship and decide for yourself, okay? And build wealth from that place of wanting to be empowered, wanting to be in charge of your future. Because at the end of the day, I believe life should be fun. Life should be pleasurable. Like, that's the whole point, right? That's the whole point of evolving. That's the whole point of trying to build wealth. We only get to live life once. What is the most number of years we could live on Earth? I think maybe 120. I don't want to live to be 120. I think by age 99 max, I'm done and I'm ready to go. But if you know 120 is the max for you, why would you want to waste just even one single day being miserable? I believe it's your right to be happy. It's your right to have a fun life and to live the heck out of the life you have. So, take an audit of your relationships. If you are in an abusive relationship, have an exit strategy. Many times it can feel very tough to think about leaving, but I believe you can access help. There are tons of women charities that help women deal with abuse. Have a strategy and do not wait until you get killed. Okay? Think about your children. Think about the family members that truly, truly love you. Seek help and then have an exit strategy. And be smart. Okay? When I say be smart, I don't want you to tell your abusive partner you're planning to leave him, okay? Because terrible things have happened to women who weren't smart about their plan. So be smart, have an exit strategy, and own your wealth creation journey. Own it. Be empowered. Okay, life is too short to live a miserable life. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be wealthy. That's what God's plan was for you from the beginning. Remember when God created Adam and Eve, he said, go have dominion over the fish, over the animals on the land. He gave us power and authority to have dominion, to live an abundant life, to live a healthy life, to live a happy life. So I want you to know that wealth, abundance, security, love, it's all your birthright. You deserve true love. You deserve someone to truly love you unconditionally. I hope you are empowered, and I'm glad we've gotten through all of these 12 steps. So let me summarize the 12 steps again. If you haven't listened to the beginning of these 12 steps, please go back to episode number 37 and listen to all of the episodes before this one. So what do extraordinarily wealthy women know? These are the 12 things. We know we have to teach ourselves what's possible. 2, we know the difference between success, happiness, and being a good person. 3, we know that creating wealth is what creates money, and we know how to create value. Sorry, let me say that again. 3, we know that creating value is what creates money, and we know how to create value. 4, we know that extraordinary success includes lots and lots of money. 5, we know that life is 50-50. 6, we know failure is the price of success. 7, we know we don't get the how until we get there. 8, we know it's not better there than here. 9, we know we are already 100% worthy. We are not trying to make money to prove our worth. We are already worthy. 10, we know it's hard and we can do hard things. 11, we prioritize self-care because we know it's very important. 12, we know we deserve love and we are empowered to only be in loving relationships. Abuse isn't tolerated. So there you have it, my friend. The 12 things extraordinarily wealthy women know. This wraps up our 12 series episodes. I have enjoyed this journey with you, and I'm so excited for the amazing future you create. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your day. I'll see you back here on the next episode. Hey, very quickly before you go, if you are ready to finally fix your relationship with money, increase your net worth, and make more money, then I invite you to my one-on-one private coaching program. This is where you learn how to take control of your money and build wealth. To get started, book a free intro call with me. The link is in the show notes. I'll see you there. Bye-bye.